Welcome to the Shift Spotlight Podcast. I'm Winter, your host and VP of Strategy at GCE Strategic Consulting. GCE are business transformational experts that provide fractional and executive leadership services that help business owners and CEOs shift from working in the business to working on the business. Our podcast was created to celebrate CEOs, visionaries, and the EOS community, all while promoting your business to our remarkable and influential network. We are excited to celebrate your stories of change, challenge, success, and shifts you've made happen along the way. The Shift Spotlight is always looking for podcast guests. Go to shiftspotlight.com to apply today. We'd love to have you. Hey, everybody. It's Winter with the Shift Spotlight, and today we are here with Randy Crabtree. He is a multifaceted co-founder. He's also a host of his own unique CPA podcast. He's a keynote speaker, and he's also one of the top 100 most influential people in accounting. So welcome to the show, Randy.
Well, Winter, thanks for having me. I look forward to having a fun conversation today.
Awesome. Okay, so let's start with a little fun. What is an interesting fact about you that people may not know?
So it depends on the group. Some people know this, some people don't. I'm not quiet about it, but 11 years ago, I had a stroke. And it's fairly interesting. I'm very fortunate to realize that not everybody goes through that, which is pretty cool. But it's something that I went through that physically I recovered quickly. And it's mentally, it took me a while, but it's really shaped the person I am today. And so that's a fact that's had a huge impact on my life. And honestly, for the positive, even though it sounds like a very negative situation.
Yeah. And we were talking before the show started, you know, this changed how you work in your business and the things that you do. One of the first things that when you got on here today, you said, well, I'm out here just having fun. So something tells me that, maybe things got a little more lighthearted after something serious like that.
It definitely did. As I mentioned, I struggled a little mentally, not a little, quite a bit mentally after my stroke. And it's not uncommon to do so, you know, depression and this is going to happen again and I'm going to die and not going to see my kids grow up, all this stuff. And it goes through your head. But once I came out of that, I realized I got to just look at what I love doing. And that's where I got to spend my time. And I got to stop honestly lying to myself about who I am in the business. You know, I was managing partner of our business. I started our business and I looked at that and said, really, that's not my skill set. That's not where my passion lies. And so what you said about changing and integrating the fun into what you do, yeah. I analyzed everything and I said, okay, here's what I like doing. Here's what I'm good at. This is where I'm going to spend my time. And honestly, when I did that, other people in the organization realized it was okay to do that, to look at where they should be hanging out within the profession. And it's had a positive impact on all of us.
Why do so many CEOs do all the wrong things that they're not supposed to be doing?
Because we feel like this is us, this is ours. We started this, we're ahead of this. We have to do everything. We have to be stoic and show that we don't have any weakness. We have to, you know, saying I don't know something, you know, in our mind, not reality, but in our minds is a sign of weakness. And you can't let anybody know that you're working with you, that you maybe made a mistake or you don't have a sign of weakness. And so we start to identify with the role, the title, I did this rather than identifying with really what makes you happy.
And I think that's so true, because one of the things we hear CEOs say a lot is they feel alone. And the reason they feel alone is everybody comes to them for the answers, but they have a hard time admitting to anyone and themselves that they don't have all the answers and they're figuring it out just like a lot of people are, but they feel like they can't be authentic with their staff and say, you know what? I don't know that, but let me figure it out and I'll get back to you.
Yeah, that is super common. I've seen that a lot. I've actually become very passionate about being out and talking about vulnerable leadership and how the positive impact that being a vulnerable leader has on an organization. And there's lots of studies and stats and scientific information out there that's going to show that if you are the leader that says, yes, I don't know this, the impact it has on the business is so positive. And so we just have to get over that idea of, yes, I can't show that I don't have the answers. Because when you, here's a good example. If I'm afraid to say I don't have all the answers, or I don't have anything, or that I don't know everything, that I've made a mistake, if you make it so important to not do something wrong, nobody's ever going to be innovative. Nobody's ever going to be creative and try something new because that is a sense of a chance that you're going to fail at something.
Yeah.
An organization that is not innovative or creative or doesn't try new things is an organization that's going to stay flat and probably get passed by. So vulnerable leadership impacts creativity and innovation. I think there's a study out there that shows like organizations that have vulnerable leadership are 30% more creative and innovative. That alone should be a reason to realize that, yeah, it's okay to say I don't have all the answers.
I mean, that's huge. And I think one of the most powerful things that you can say to a client, to an employee, to somebody you're working with, to any aspect of your life is when you don't know the answer to say, you know what? I don't know that, but I'm going to find out and get right back to you. Because it doesn't take away anything from your confidence of saying, I will find out. And people respect, I don't know. I remember like I run a real estate company and agents try to act like they know everything. And I remember one time I said that to a client, you know, I don't know the answer to that, but I'll get right back to you. And they just stopped me and they acknowledged me for like being the only agent they've ever seen in their entire life not say something out of their ass that wasn't true. You know?
So, yep.
Yeah, so I'm the only salesperson that's ever done that ever. No, I'm kidding.
But that's awesome what you just said, because what that does too, it just vulnerable leadership, which is what you displayed there. It's a very simple thing is that, hey, I'm going to find this answer out for you. But trust levels go through the roof when you
do
something like that. And when there's trust there, I mean, I get goosebumps thinking about this. All of these positive aspects of leadership that can happen when you just do a simple thing like, I don't know the answer and I'll find it for you.
Yeah, exactly. So tell us about your journey to becoming a CEO and a business leader and what you do.
Okay. That's a very, I could go on for like 2 hours, so I'm not, but I've been an entrepreneur, which is a hard word for me to say sometime, an entrepreneur my whole life. I started my first business at 16. So I think it was just destined to be a CEO, I guess. And I, like I said earlier, I felt that that's who I was. And it's just something I think it's more so that I have a hard time working for other people. That's changed over the years because I've given up a lot of control and I realize I can don't have to be the guy that does everything as we were just talking about. But I've been an entrepreneur, like I said, forever. I've probably Trimerit, which is the business we have right now. I was the CEO of that for the first 10 years. 8 years ago, I stepped down from that and took on this new role. But what Trimerit does is we are a specialty tax firm. We support the accounting profession by bringing very intricate tax credits and incentives to them that they can bring to their client base and save their clients money. So it's like research and development tax credits and a lot of real estate incentives from either energy standpoint or accelerated depreciation. There's a lot around renewable energy incentives. So that's what we do. And it's been a fun ride because we get to equip the accounting profession with knowledge that they get to save their clients money. And giving clients money, which is basically what we do through tax savings, is a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's totally fun. We used to get those movie tax credits in Georgia because they were so much filming here and those have flown away. So, so how many employees do you have?
I think there's currently about 80. I lose track, but I think that's the number we're at right now is about 80 employees.
So you've grown, right? And while you're not managing the day to the day, you founded it. And yes. So that's a lot of employees. How do you foster a company culture, especially when you're growing to levels like that?
Yeah, that's a great, because this is something I'm very, again, passionate about, is culture, because it's so important. Vulnerable leadership, I think, impacts culture from a positive standpoint, but just putting people first, it may sound bad, but it's not. The most important thing in our organization is the people that work with us. Now, the clients are going to be serviced better when you put your people first. And I'll swear by that. And we've lived that. I know for a fact that that's the case. The interesting fact is, we can go even a step deeper, is we're a virtual organization. Our people are remote all over the country.
Wow.
We have a few small offices, but it's for the most part, people work at home or, like me, in hotels often because I'm traveling. But so creating a positive culture in a remote environment is something that you have to be very intentional about it. You have to have like open door policies, even though there's no door. I think there's things that you can do, like setting open hours on, let's say, Teams, where somebody knows between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m., Randy's available anytime. I just have to send them a message and say, hey, can we jump on a Teams call now? You have to be intentional about being transparent with what's going on within the organization, because when you're remote, people can take something and mind will play tricks on them and say, okay, this just happened. Obviously, that's why. And so if you're in person, it's easier to talk through that. If you're remote, it's not. And so to make sure people are first, you have to be transparent about everything going on in the organization, in my mind, even from numbers to why did we stop this incentive? Why did we add this incentive? Here's a good example. As a remote organization, getting together in person is super important still. You have to have that face-to-face. And so what we do is twice a year, we bring the entire organization into a remote location, and we spend 2.5 days together. A little bit of education, a bit of fun, where we just get together and hang out and get to hug and get to, sometimes cry depending on what's going on, but a lot of laughing. And so that's important. We had a year in 2024 where, revenue was down because we're at the mercy of Congress and they make changes to incentives that can affect us. So revenue was down. So we didn't get together that year. And when we got together in May of 25, you could see what I was saying earlier. People were coming up with their own ideas of why we didn't get together in 24, even though we were transparent on it. Hey, the year's down. We're going to try to save some money. And it took us the first half a day to talk through that with everybody, to get us all back onto the same page. No, here's where we're going. Here's the game plan. This is where revenue is today. This is the projections. Everything's good. And so that transparency, we probably thought we were letting people know, but not to the level they needed to know. So that's just a couple of things for culture. But for us, it's just, having regional meetups as often as we can. We'll support, we have a bunch of people in Houston. We'll support them and, hey, go out and have pizza and beer, and we'll pay for that just to get together and make sure you're in person. People know they can reach out to me anytime about anything. But if you don't have that positive code, and the impact of that is, sorry, I'm ranting right now, but
I'm loving all of this and I've got questions, but keep
okay.
going.
Okay, so I can prove that putting people first is important, at least from a personal standpoint. In 18 years, I think we've had 11 people leave the organization. So we don't have turnover. People tell their friends about Trimerit. They tell their spouses, their roommates, we have husbands, wives, mothers, daughters, brothers, sisters, college best friends, high school best friends that work at our organization because they hear about the culture we have. And then just to go one step further, and then I'll let you jump in. Sorry about that.
Don't worry. I will cut you off when needed.
I
have no problems
with that. I appreciate that. people will think, okay, well, you just don't let people go. You know, you keep people, you let you, the people, you're too soft. No, we'll let people go when it makes sense for them to be successful elsewhere. But what this has done for our organization is for 22, 23, and 24, we were named by Inc. magazine as one of the fastest growing privately held companies in the US. So the growth there, because the turnover isn't, because you put people first, the clients have a positive impact.
I mean, beautiful. This is like the podcast every founder and CEO needs to listen to, because it seems like you've got it all figured out.
Well, probably not everything, but
no, not everything.
Hi, I am Ken Paskins, the CEO of GCE Strategic Consulting. After decades of helping companies from pre-revenue startups to Fortune 50 giants, I wanted to create something that every leader could use right now. That's why we built the CEO Navigator. It is a custom GPT that helps you uncover real root causes of business challenges, build a focused 90-day plan, and even expose blind spots across your business that you don't yet see coming. This is not just artificial intelligence. It's built upon decades of proven operator experience, distilled in a tool that you can start using today. To explore further, please go to gcestrategicconsulting.com/CEO-navigator-GPT and see for yourself how it can help you lead with clarity and confidence.
But okay, so rewind. I think it's interesting that you can have fun with CPAs and tax strategies, but it sounds like that is possible. I love the concept of the open hours. And you see coaches do this a lot, you know, when you join group programs and, you know, people all jump on because they're dealing with the same issues or whatever with the program. But like, I've never seen it actually put into practice with a company like this. And, you know, sometimes for the staff, the owner, founder, CEO, they feel out of reach and they don't feel very seen. And I think that in this day and age, employees want to be seen. And so I think that that's an amazing opportunity for employees to feel like they matter and that they're heard. And the CEO is saying, hey guys, I'm just one of you, right? And you're important to me, which is, so I love that concept. How did you create that or come up with that?
Actually, I a lot of things that I start doing, I get from other people. And this was a friend of mine, Jennifer Wilson, who does a lot of speaking in the accounting profession, mentioned that that's something that she suggested
coaches,
for people to do.
Coaches,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Coaches. And so I got that from her. And it's something that we implement as often as we can, just to make sure people realize that we're there, we're available. Yeah. We're not on this perch. To go on another really quick rant, I have a really hard problem, a really hard way. I can't get my mind around the word leadership. Because in my mind, the first thing I think of is that leaders are up here and then everybody else is below them. And I look at leadership as that everybody in the organization has the ability to lead and needs to lead at some level. And so, I think if we let people know that they're all important, that everybody has the ability to have a positive impact on what's going on with this organization, that's how I look at leadership. And I think
so
that's
how. Do
helped.
You have a leadership team?
Oh, yeah, we do. Actually, when I stepped down from managing partner role, CEO role 8 years ago, is right when we were really kind of starting to organize the leadership team, you know, an official mm-hmm. team. And that first month afterwards, they said, hey, here's where our meeting's going to be for the leadership meeting this month. Here's the dates. Here's the time. And I'm like, I'm not. No, you guys are the leaders now. I'm not going to this. Honestly, I would probably get in the way. And it was time for someone else to be managed. And their skills were so much more in line with that leadership aspect. And it made sense for me. So, yes, we do have one. And at this point, I am not involved.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So was there a pivotal moment when you knew your company was ready to scale? And how did you approach it?
Yeah. So like I said earlier, we were at the mercy of Congress, but we're also, you know, benefit from things that Congress do. it was really about that time when I stepped down, and I looked at this, and I'm like, I don't think I am equipped to manage this growth. I can start a business. I can be out and build relationships and bring in business, but managing the processes or procedures and KPIs and all that was something that just does not, you know, ring a bell for me. It's not a passion project for me. And so when I realized that and made that step down, that's really because I knew we were poised for big growth. There was a tax bill that came out that had a huge positive impact on us back in the mid 2000 teens. And that bill I knew was going to have a super positive growth impact for us. So that is where we really dug in with getting people into the right positions. And that's, as long as people got into the right positions and were able to prepare for that growth, we've always overstaffed too, because we know that there's going to be times where we're going to need extra people. But that was the moment where we saw growth was going to happen. And that's where we aligned people into the correct positions.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, great job. Right. You make it sound so easy, but we know
it wasn't.
It's not easy. You just make it sound so effortless. So tell us about what has been a difficult or the most difficult part of your CEO journey.
Honestly, it was what we said. It was that have come into the realization that that is not my role. That was, even though I made it, like you just said, sound easy. It took me about 2 years to really say, yes, I need to step down, even though it sounded like it was an overnight decision. And in my mind, it was, even though it was a 2 years in the back of my head that this is going to have to be the thing. And then it was, who am I? Because, you know,
I'm not this person, who am I?
Yes. And that was something that I struggled with, because I knew I wasn't that anymore. I knew that wasn't the role I needed to be, but I did not know what that role was. So I kind of floated in different roles for about 2 or 3 years till I really found, like I said, that intersection of my passion and my skill. And when I found that, oh man, it's the same time that, you know, my partner took over Managing Partner. I give him credit for all that growth and managing it. But it's that growth actually also started when I found that role that fit me the best, because I was out building these relationships and that was big. So the hard part was making that decision, but it was the best thing I ever did.
So would you call yourself a visionary at this point?
I don't really call myself anything.
You don't like titles.
I don't. It's weird. I'm weird. But yes, we do a lot of things that I'm an idea person. I guess if that makes me a visionary,
is. Yeah, idea person. I like that.
Yeah. Things like you mentioned, the podcast, that was something that started in 2019. In 2023, we started a conference called Bridging the Gap. And that was just something that had been in my head for about 3 years. And I finally decided to act on it. And we're very fortunate. We have people in place that can take these sometimes crazy ideas I have and put them into motion.
Yeah.
And so this year, actually starting right now, I just decided to take Bridging the Gap, our conference, and start a roadshow with it. So we're going to do little mini events around the country, like half day events for, you know, we're going to do probably 3 or 4 before the end of the year. And then we'll see probably a few more next year. And so those
fun.
Types of things.
This
yeah.
You don't do anything but fun stuff anymore.
I am very lucky. I'm very fortunate, very blessed that I get to do the things that I really, really enjoy doing. And people is a big part of that. Just getting to hang out with these people that I see do really cool and interesting things. And I get to absorb their knowledge.
I love that. So what advice would you give aspiring entrepreneurs who may just be starting out their journey?
Yeah, it's very easy to want to do everything. It's very easy to feel you have to do everything. And in reality, often at the beginning you do. But as you grow, find that thing that you really like, find that client that you really like, find that service that you really like, whatever industry you're in, and spend more time there. Because if you find the thing that really lights you up, man, there's no stopping you. And when you're starting a business, you do think you have to do everything, but there isn't anything that you do that can't be outsourced. Even if you can't afford an employee, there's nothing that you do that can't be outsourced. You can just, you know, get on an app and outsource something. Spend the time where you are most valuable and where you have the most fun. And if you can do that, I just don't see how you could be stopped.
Yeah, that's great. That's excellent, excellent advice. What is a book or a resource that you would recommend to another, no title, but somebody running a company, managing a company, building a company, ideas for a company? We won't call them a CEO.
Okay. Stay away from titles. Nice.
Stay away from titles.
So can I give you multiple books?
Give us multiples.
All right. So I was not a business book person. This is a new phenomenon for me. But when I started digging into it, there's so many really, really smart people out there that have so much information to share. And so I'll give you two, maybe three. If you cut me off, we'll stop at two. A friend of mine wrote a book called What's Your And? And we talked earlier about people and culture and people first culture. What's Your And is about you. And this kind of goes to that whole title thing. It's you're not your job title. You are what you do outside of work. That defines you. And so for me, I love hiking. I love exercise. Family is obviously important. My ands are hiking, and I'm a CPA and I hike. I'm a CPA and I love craft beer. I'm a CPA and I love traveling. And so the and defines you. And so if you can get to know the people you work with on their and level, that's where people start becoming most important.
One. I haven't heard that recommendation before. I love that.
Yeah, John Garrett is his name. What's Your And? He actually has a podcast of the same name. And then I'll just throw out two more. I'm a huge fan of Simon Sinek's The Infinite Game. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great book. I think everybody needs to read that. And then this one that's really got me going right now is Arthur C. Brooks' From Strength to Strength. And it talks about the skills you have at different moments in your career. And as you get older, you know, maybe your technical knowledge is going away, but you gain so much, you know, ability to lead and mentor and educate that this feels like the journey that I've been on. And that's, I think, why I resonate so much with this book. But what I see as leaders, we often get so stuck in, I have to keep doing this role. When in reality, if you step back and look, you're going to be much stronger when you go to this role. So From Strength to Strength is I'll stop at the three books.
Okay, that's good. Those are all really good. Never been told before. I do like the Simon Sinek one. No, it's not him. He's not the author, but it's all about your tribe and it's about working with the people that you want to. He's a marketer. Seth Godin.
Okay.
It's all about
nice.
Like your tribe and not going after every client, but going after the clients that you want to work with, which goes back to your aspect of fun. And when you do that, how that transforms your business, because you're not just a slave to everybody. You're creating your tribe, your client tribe. So
I love it.
Awesome. Okay. And if somebody wanted to take the next steps with TriMerit, they can go to TRI-MERIT.com. But is there any other recommendations you would tell people if they wanted to take the next steps with TriMerit?
Yeah, that's a good spot. There's a Meet the Team link on there. You can also go to LinkedIn and just search for me, Randy Crabtree, and you know, shoot me a message there either way. We'd love to chat.
You were awesome to chat with. You were a lot of fun. I didn't know talking to tax people could be fun until this podcast.
Well, I am trying to change the perception of the accounting profession. That is actually a mission of mine. And so I appreciate that.
Awesome. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Winter.
Thank you for listening to the Shift Spotlight podcast. If you are a business owner, CEO, founder, visionary, or of the EOS community seeking recognition for your exceptional expertise while gaining exposure through our remarkable network, we are actively searching for podcast guests who can bring their inspiring stories to light, and we'd love to showcase your journey. Please visit shiftspotlight.com to apply today. And if you are a listener, I'd love to give a shout out to your business to our whole audience for free. All you have to do is leave a review on Apple Podcasts or follow our newsletter on LinkedIn by searching GCE Strategic Consulting. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program, so hit subscribe to be inspired and motivated. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you and your growing business. We will see you next time.